Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show. Want to take a quick second to interrupt the episode and let you guys know that we are partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group. Guys, I don't know anything. I mean, I don't know anything about buying a home. All right, I've never done it. I'm 25 years old and you need someone who's going to educate you on the process. Okay. Louis literally helped Kevin just buy a home. Kevin just purchased a home in Iowa City. He used this is a real relationship. This isn't just some phony, like read an ad, get paid type of thing. Louis is seriously helpful. He helped Kevin. He can help you. Let me read a couple reviews of Louis. Jacob said, as a realtor, it is important to me to be able to have a relationship with lenders that are honest, hardworking, and trustworthy. Louis went above and beyond for my clients, myself, and the new homeowners. Couldn't be happier with the way he educated them throughout the process and the way it made it simplistic. I highly recommend Louis to anyone looking for a mortgage lender. That's just one. Chris said, working with Louis was nothing but a positive experience. He went out of his way to introduce himself to me on a holiday weekend, knowing that I was only in town for a short time. He made the whole loan process effortless on our part. I would definitely recommend him to anyone. Now, doesn't that sound like some guy that you would want to work with? All right, some guy that we recommend, that we have talked to, that we know is going to help you get the process done. And like I said before in these ads, I'm pretty sure that mortgage rates are at an all-time low. So if you're in that process right now or you need some help, you need some information, contact Louis. Again, we've set up a private email just for our listeners of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Contact him at hawks@gohomeside.com, or you can just search Louis Wickett and find him online. Now back to the show. Episode 139 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. Today we bring on a guest from another sport in the Hawkeye world. Stuart Brown joins us from the Iowa men's gymnastics team. We talk a little bit about his background and his way to Iowa City, and then we discuss the big topic of his program getting cut along with some others. Good to shed some light. Let's have it up. Welcome into episode 139 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Again, today, Thursday, when you're listening to this, I am going at it solo because this was recorded on Sunday along with the Stuart Duncan
podcast, we have another Stuart in the house today. From a different perspective, this one's going to be interesting because with all the shit that's going down in the world right now, this is just this episode is going to be emotional, but also kind of enlightening and one that I'm excited to do, but I wish we weren't in this circumstance. Stuart Brown of the Iowa men's gymnastics team, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
You've been vocal on Twitter the last couple days. This is on the heels of the university cutting 4 Iowa sports programs, and we're going to get to that. I want to first kind of introduce and get not just our fan base, but also me, a little bit of background knowledge on you and how you came to the university, how you came to be a Hawkeye. And I pulled it up here. I did a little bit of research. Stuart Brown, all the way from Taylorsville, North Carolina, correct?
Yep.
Talk to me about that. What was growing up like? How'd you get into gymnastics? What did that look like?
So my sister started gymnastics. She's 2 years older. And yep. It was originally because my mom wanted her to do pageants and stuff. And
sure.
She wanted her talent to be something a little different than everybody else.
Okay.
But then once they started taking her, they put me in it. And from then on, I just kind of took off with it. I started when I was 1.5.
Wow.
So I've been doing it my whole life.
It's a long time.
All I know. And on top of that, growing up in North Carolina, especially Taylorsville, it's a really small rural town. I didn't have a lot of support from my peers. It was definitely challenging, especially in elementary school. There are a lot of negative comments and things like that. But I was successful at a young age, and I think that's kind of what kept me in it. If I wasn't having the satisfaction of myself and doing well, I honestly think I probably would have left the sport.
Sure.
But I knew that it was something I loved, and I just kept with it and continued to grow. And it kind of led me to Iowa. So
yeah. So how big was your graduating class in high school?
So my graduating class was like 360.
Okay.
It's kind of big, but we're a one high school county. So
okay. So it's like a combination of multiple. Yeah.
We had like people drive 40 minutes to go to high school.
Wow, that's insane. So obviously you had to you would have had to compete with a club, right? Or like some kind of, because they don't have gymnastics in high school, right? Like they don't have them in Iowa.
They do have them in Illinois. If you're going to a college for gymnastics, 99.9% of the individuals are coming from a private club.
Okay. That's what I figured. So you're a part of this club all the way from 18 months old, basically,
yep.
Which is insanity. So, the world and the sport of gymnastics is really fascinating to me, mostly because, in my own life, I'm into health and fitness now after college playing football, into CrossFit a little bit. And in CrossFit, there's a little bit of gymnastics, some ring muscle up, some handstand walking, stuff like that, some simple stuff that you could crush in your sleep. Because I did watch some videos, Stu, man, you can do some impressive shit, dude. Like, so I highly suggest anybody listening right now, search Stuart Brown Iowa Gymnastics on YouTube. You'll find a couple videos that could satisfy 30 minutes of like watching you flip around. And it's super impressive, man. Like it's really fun to watch. I just wanted to let you know that, cause it's pretty incredible. How did Iowa get on the radar? Where did that come from?
So you may know, some of the listeners may not, but NCAA men's gymnastics is already a very small sport.
Yeah. Not very many teams.
Don't have that many programs left out, and especially outside of the Big Ten. I mean, the Big Ten is really the only conference that's left that has, you know, an actual good amount, a good group of teams.
Sure.
So originally growing up, I was really drawn to Stanford. It's just where I wanted to go. They had a great program. But then things weren't kind of going the way I wanted them to. I got hurt my junior year of high school.
Okay.
And I still competed at nationals, but I had a broken wrist. So I did not actually do what I wanted to do.
Wow.
A week later, emailed all the coaches from the schools and was like, hey, I'm having surgery. Won't be back for like 7 months, but I'm committed to coming back and, you know, being better. And Iowa was the only school that continued to reach out to me and talk to me. And then I came out here to campus. Love the team, love the coaches. The facilities are amazing. Academics felt right. Like, I originally came in as a civil engineering major. So that was a big draw for me originally. I switched to sport and recreation management, and I'm going to pursue like video as my career.
Yeah.
But originally that's kind of like what pulled me to Iowa. And it was from the beginning, they showed commitment to me, and I just wanted to be committed to them.
It's an incredible place, right? Like somehow, some way, everyone's got that story of like, Iowa was the one that kept talking to me. Like, right? It's a special place. So you came to Iowa City in the fall of 2019?
18.
Because the gymnastics season is in the spring, right?
Right.
Right. So then your first season would have been the 19 spring and then 20 spring.
Yeah.
So you are... You are about to go into your third year. It's kind of up in the air, obviously. They've cut the program. Again, we're going to get to it. But they said that if you are able to find a way to compete, you're still going to compete it out through this year. Is that correct? Okay. Such a weird situation. Before we get to the real issue here, I want to know... You said you started at 1.5, and growing up, what was the training like as far as gymnastics? What were the sessions like? How long is a gymnastics practice? What did that look like from when you were 6 years old compared to when you were in high school compared to like what it was at Iowa? Give me a little insight into that.
So I think 6 years old, that was a long time ago. The cool thing about my story is that I had the same coach from the very beginning. We kind of worked our way up together. He was really young when he started coaching me, and I was kind of his first athlete to go all the way through and go to college. And me and him are super close. There were like 1 or 2 years in the middle where he transitioned and just coached the girls team at my gym.
Yeah.
But for most of the years, he was head coach of both men's and women's.
Cool.
But I think around 6 years old, I was probably going 3 days a week, maybe four for like 3 hours a day. But I know once I hit middle school, it was 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. And compared to like a lot of the people I was competing against, like that was nothing.
I know. It's kind of a crazy world. Like people get.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane.
I mean, I had friends who had moved across the country and started homeschooling. They would go to the gym from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., if not later. And in the middle of that, they would do like their online school or like homeschooling. So, I mean, I was still pretty relaxed with 3 hours, 5 days a week.
Right. Yeah.
But then again, I was like the only kid at my gym or like the only guy. So it was a lot of one-on-one time. So I was able to get like a lot more turns and like attention to like skills and corrections than say somebody working out with 7-10 guys were.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably one of the biggest transitions to Iowa is that growing up, I didn't have like a big team.
Yeah.
And here I am trying to train with 18 guys, 3 coaches, and you know, I'm still trying to get great quality work in. That was definitely the hardest part for me. I just wasn't used to training with other guys.
It was so different. Yeah.
Yeah. And growing up, I was really hard on myself. I mean, I still am. And a lot of times in practice, I would get frustrated and I would use that to kind of give me what I need to get the power to make that skill or be laser focused to make the correction or the skill. And coming here, that was a really big issue for me is like my actions in the gym could rub off on my teammates and affect their practice. You know, so that was definitely the hardest part of my transition. And, you know, I think for everyone, it's something different. You know, we all come from different backgrounds, but we're all gymnasts and, we all are working towards the same goal. I just think everybody's transition is like a little different. I definitely struggled a little bit, and I would probably say a lot of it actually, but I felt like I was kind of finding my like feet and stuff going into this year. And, you know, my past 2 years, like freshman year, I hurt my ankle in like November, December. It was like at the black and gold inter squad that we do in the field house, like before. Hurt my ankle. So it kind of hindered my freshman year performance. But I mean, I was still able to accomplish great things. And then sophomore year, I hurt it again in, I think it was a little earlier this year. I don't remember the exact time, but anyways, it proved to be a lot harder this year than it was my freshman year. Because I re-injured it and just kept trying to do more on it. Because I didn't want to let a season go to waste, you know?
Right. Of course.
And then I remember our last meet was Ohio State, and going to that meet, I know the Wednesday before it, I could barely walk. Every morning I would wake up this past season and it would be a struggle to get to the bathroom to shower. Like it was so bad.
You sound like a football player.
Yeah. So Ohio State, I remember that Wednesday I could barely walk. I was getting in the training room. We did everything we could. I wasn't able to, you know, do what I can, started warming up and stuff, and I was set to compete. But at the end of the, like before we got to competing, I couldn't, so I remember that was the last competition experience that I have if we don't have a season is
damn
getting pulled out and not competing. So
that's wild. So that back to what you said, that's you kind of went through a very unique transition into college where you almost were like a solo sport athlete, and then you had to transition into a team setting. And it's super like That's a huge realization and kind of a very intellectual thing that you had to go through of like my actions and the way I perform and the way I carry myself now affect my teammates, and they, you know, the vibe and the attitude that I, you know, bring to practice kind of bleeds into your brothers on the mat, right? And that's really weird. Most people don't have to go through that kind of transition. So that's kind of crazy. I'm fascinated by, because I'm telling you, dude, men gymnastics, you guys are so jacked. It's not even funny. Like it does make all the sense, right? You're not big guys because you can't be like 6'4".
Right.
You can't be a football player and like get up on the rings and like, it's just, you know,
yeah.
The physics don't work that way. Like I think I read your 5'7", right?
Yeah.
What's like the average size? Like what's your average men's gymnast?
I would say somewhere between 5'4", 5'7". I'm on the shorter end on our team lineup.
Okay.
Actually, now that I think about it, so probably like 5'7" to 5'9". I don't know.
Okay.
Somewhere like the mid to high 5 foot mark.
Okay. And what do you weigh?
I weigh like 160 right now. During seasons, I normally weigh around like 163. But last summer when I feel like I was in like my peak performance weight, I was at like 155.
Okay. You guys are just like little, you're just straight balls of muscle.
Yeah.
And I'm like curious, obviously with how much body weight and just volume you guys do, like that kind of training lends itself to creating a very lean person. Like you got men's gymnastics, women's gymnastics, you're very lean people and athletes. What off the mat, what is the, like the strength conditioning look like for that? Like what kind of training do you guys do?
Yeah. I know for like a lot of sports here, they like Carver and the weight room is like a huge, portion of
right. their,
like strength regimen. And for us, the emphasis on, Carver is more, you know, like power outputs.
Yeah.
And then also focusing on like a lot of smaller muscle groups.
Okay. Like stability muscles.
Stability muscles, correct.
Yep.
But we still do like the bench, deadlift,
squat, yeah,
you know, all that stuff. But I would
say, sure.
A big portion of ours too is like in the gym strength, like body weight stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like we'll just hold ring like strength positions for time. We'll do like circuits that involve gymnastics. So it's like you have like five dip swing to handstands on P-bars, and then you go do 30 circles, and then you have a rope climb, and then you hold a handstand on rings for a minute, and then you do five pullovers on high bar, and then you do five sprints on the vault, and like it.
Hold on a second. Hold a handstand on the rings for a minute.
Yeah,
it's like a minute straight.
Yeah, it's pretty calm.
Holy shit! Oh my god, I don't think I know that you know this, but the people listening do not understand how hard that is. First of all, the people listening don't understand how hard it is to get up into a ring muscle up. Like anyone who's tried CrossFit knows that. But to hold a handstand in general, first of all, and back to the videos I was watching of you, the wide hand press into a handstand in your floor routine.
Yeah.
Bro, that's some sick shit. Like that is some insane stuff.
Yeah.
Like I have a special appreciation for it because I know how insane some of that stuff is. That's cool. The kind of conditioning you guys go through. So a lot of just like single skills put together to kind of work conditioning while you work the skill.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then also when it comes to like routines,
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Obviously, in like the off-season, we train a lot more like single skills.
Yeah.
And then transitioning back into like routine shape is like pretty difficult.
Right.
It's like your skill that's your eighth or ninth skill is going to feel completely different at your eighth or ninth skill as it will when you're just getting up and doing it.
100%.
So we do a lot of like half sets. So like you'll split your routine into half and you'll do like your first half and your last half, and then
yep.
You put them together. Floor particularly is like a cool way that we train it. So you'll do your entire floor routine, and then at the end you'll do three extra passes.
Yeah.
Just to get, we call them endurance sets. So
it's like overtraining almost. Right. Yeah.
So that way it's easier. And then once you get to competitions, like you have adrenaline. So, I mean,
so it kind of equals out, right? Cause I did the same thing. So I don't know how familiar you are with like long snapping, but I basically am snapping to the punter on a punt or the holder on a PAT. And so to mimic that like adrenaline feel of being out there and competing, I would do like sprints across the field, back forth, and then go snap the ball.
Yeah.
Because that kind of heart rate and intense feeling is way more similar than if I just run out there and snap it. Yeah. So there's definitely some similarities going on there. I know exactly what you're talking about. And what kind of hours were you putting in as far as like gym sessions in college? Like same kind of thing, like 3-4 hours at a time or?
Yeah. It kind of varied because like days we would have classes, and like sometimes, especially when I was in engineering
those damn classes
at the times that the classes were offered, you know, you'd have to leave practice early.
Yeah.
And then like come back later or something like that.
Sure.
But I would say like 3 hours. And then like we'd have like two light days. So you'd have like two, like 3 to 3.5 hour days. You'd have like four of those a week. And then you'd have like two-hour days in there.
Days
a week.
Yeah, right. Did you ever like, you know, you pull the tape off, shower, you know, put your clothes back on, walk out of the field house, and you're just like, I don't, I don't know if I can move my body. Like, it's just one of those days where you're like so tired. Like, you went to class, maybe you had strength training that day, then you had a 3-hour practice. Like, how often were there those kind of days?
I would say a lot more of those days would be tied to the pain in my ankle.
Your injury. Yeah.
But I mean, over summer, that's really common.
Right.
Because we're trying to get in like the best shape that we can.
Yeah. Conditioning.
But the house also doesn't have air conditioning.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good.
But that's also kind of what we coin as like our grit. Like, if you can do your skills and your routines and you're dripping sweat, the chalk isn't, yeah, you know, really doing anything for you. It's hard to get a grip, like that kind of stuff. Like, if you can do it in those circumstances, you can do it anywhere else.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I mean, it's definitely tough, but I can't remember like specific days where I'm like, I mean, I think it's just all like kind of like,
it all blends together. Yeah, for sure. You mentioned earlier that you started as a civil engineer major, but now you're transitioning and you're actually working with one of my favorite people on earth, Chris Ruth. I'd love to hear more about my guy, Chris. I've not talked to him in a long time. Talk a little bit about the video production. I think you're like interning with him, or you're like a student assistant or something like that. For those listening, actually go back to episode, I believe we had Chris on like episode 37, I want to say, around there. And we talked to Chris about his time with Iowa football. He transitioned to like a larger role within the athletic department. So that's kind of Chris's background. Talk about your time with him.
Yeah. So, our team didn't really get that much attention from like a video standpoint.
Right.
When I came in. So I was like, I enjoy making videos. I'm going to make some videos for the team and try to get them on like our social media.
Sure.
So actually one of my captains as a freshman was good friends with the manager for women's gymnastics, and Chris obviously does all of their
right
video work for them. So he was good friends with Chris and just kind of put me in contact with him. And I initially went in to have a meeting with him about getting logos that I could put on the end of my videos so that they
right
a little more professional. And just after talking and meeting, just kind of decided like, hey, I'd start working around like him and the video department.
Yeah.
And we've just grown really close. I mean, he's been a great mentor both for video and life in general. He's helped me a ton. I can't say enough good things about Chris. He's provided me with an opportunity, that has like changed my life. Like, obviously want to go.
Yeah.
This as a full career.
He's an incredible dude, right? Like, just the coolest guy.
Yeah, we play Xbox every night, basically. So
yes, I love it. He loves playing video games too. Like, I always see him tweeting about it and stuff. He's so great. I'm glad that you got to work with him, that you get to work with him,
yeah,
and have had that experience, because he was awesome. I loved, you know, I had a lot of time in practice because the kickers and snappers, we didn't do a whole lot. As much as everybody else. So I talked to Chris a lot when he was with the football program. So I want to bring it into the meat of the episode here. And it's so tough because I cannot imagine, Kirk Ferentz calling a team meeting and bringing us into the room when, if, you know, for example, if I was on the team still, and saying that our program had been cut, like that there is no Iowa football anymore, right? Which is essentially what happened to you and your teammates. Walk me through what that looked like, the timeline, how you found out, and kind of the emotions of that initial announcement.
All right, I may get lost talking.
It's okay. It's okay.
And I also want to preface this with, I have no hard feelings towards the athletic department or anyone in administration.
Right.
I completely understand the decision and the business of the decision. So with that being said, I researched and followed the financial situation that I was in basically all summer. You know, keeping up with articles, seeing what the numbers were going to look like, that sort of thing. So men's gymnastics as a whole has been talked about. It's been on the chopping block for years. It's nothing new to us. And this financial loss only made it worse for us. So I personally kind of saw it coming, especially once the football season was canceled. But I was still optimistic that there was a way that we could get through it. I had heard that we were taking out the big loan. So I was like, hey, like we might have a shot.
Yeah.
But we were supposed to have a team meeting on Zoom that morning at 10 a.m. I woke up. There was an email from our head coach that had canceled the Zoom meeting, a meeting for our TeamWorks app, which is just like a communication platform.
Right. Yeah.
Had been added. And on the list was all athletes from men's gymnastics, men's tennis, men's and women's swimming and diving. And it didn't.
So you kind of had the bad feeling already.
Yeah. I mean, when I woke up and saw that, I personally knew that's what it was going to be. I mean, I was hoping that it wasn't going to be.
Right.
Because once the Big Ten had canceled the football season, I pretty much knew it was coming, but I honestly thought it would be later and that we would walk in and we would walk out with no program.
Right.
I am a little bit surprised that they gave us this year. Like, I'm super grateful for that. You know, I thought
sure.
whenever the meeting was going to be, we were going to walk in, we were going to walk out without a program.
Sure.
So that's just kind of how, you know, we were notified of it. So I went over to Carver, you know, we all check in and you can tell people, some people know, some people don't. Some people just think we're going for like a new meeting about like
right.
calls to get back to training.
Right.
So we go down and it's in the practice gym. You know, they have all the chairs like spread out, you know, social distance and everybody's wearing a mask and stuff. And once Gary Barta walked in, I knew that it was not going to be good news. Yeah. And there was just so many people in there that were just completely blindsided and had no idea walking in that that was the news they were going to get.
Right.
And that's the people that I felt for. I also felt bad for like the freshmen who had just got here like a week ago. And
yeah.
they're so excited to like be in college and start this journey. And then, you know, a week later, they're sitting in a room, don't know what to do with their lives, you know?
Yeah, and that's nuts.
Decisions to make as 18, 19-year-olds, you know? So that was kind of the feeling in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I could pretty much tell that there was a lot of people who were angry and who were upset. But there was a lot of other people that just like didn't know how to feel or like didn't think it was real.
Right.
So, I mean, it was just a negative vibe.
Yeah. Bad vibe.
Yeah.
I got to imagine that it's emotional. How that's, I mean, it's just crazy. And what sucks is, you know, so this is obviously the product of football not being able to happen, because as it is with most colleges, basically every Division I college, Power Five for sure, the football program is funding the rest of the, you know, the majority of the rest of the athletic programs. You know, you got basketball who funds itself, and maybe, you know, at Iowa wrestling funds itself, but otherwise, football kind of carries that load. And so we get to this topic of, you know, the football, it sucks. There's no football, right? Especially for guys like me who like, that was my sport.
Yeah.
Great. Like being selfish, that sucks. No football, but now it's starting to affect other areas. It's starting to affect other programs. And you tweeted out, and this is kind of where I came to know who you were. Is you said, "I'm done not speaking up. I never want to pull the student athlete card, but we have and are continuing to make sacrifices, especially in times of COVID-19, and yet this generation does not seem to care. Iowa lost 4 D1 programs today. And you want to have your Darty." I love that. I love that tweet so much. You went on to say, "Every college sport is hoping for a season in spring, and the 4 that got the bad news today, this is our last opportunity to compete for university we love. These seasons are directly tied to the spread of COVID-19. Everyone needs to wear a mask and limit your exposure. We, student athletes, are expected to follow strict protocols that are in place so that we have that chance, and we have and are committed to doing so. I'm tired of the blatant disregard for each other here and at other campuses across America that is hindering our opportunities. I hope that you value that experience you gained at the Darty as much as I and many others value their lifetime of effort and energy. Just do your part. And a Darty, for those who don't know, is a day party. I never went to one. With that tweet, obviously tons of emotion, and it kind of gets across your feelings on the entire thing, but I guess, is there anything else that you want to add to that or kind of expand on it or kind of get across so that people understand how serious this is?
Yeah, a lot of things. And I know a lot of people, I was actually surprised I haven't gotten that many like hate tweets back.
Right.
For that. I didn't expect as many people to see it as they did.
Right.
Just because Twitter's never been a big platform for me and whatnot. But it was actually sparked because we just got out of that meeting.
Yep.
I was just scrolling through my stories and I saw a video of people like in a pool drinking, no mask. Like, just it just sucks to be at home just getting that news and see that.
Yeah.
But I mean, just... yeah, just
It feels bad because the people who are the people, you know, the college kids in the football program, we called them College Joe. Like, it's just College Joe.
Yeah,
they get to still be College Joe without any consequence, right?
Yeah,
and because of them doing that, and it's not directly, you know, it's not directly correlated. Like, it's everybody, you know, everyone plays a part, but. Because of, you know, some who choose not to follow guidelines really up through the last 3-4 months, it is affecting other people. And it sucks because the amount, I mean, you just talked about the amount of dedication, the amount of hours that you put into this, they kind of all come to a really confusing end here. Where now you guys are in limbo, like you guys are just kind of waiting to figure out if you have a season. And then even if you do, like you're a junior this year, you still technically have 1 year of eligibility left.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, you know, where do you go from here? What does that look like for you? Have you even thought about that?
Yeah, I want to go back and speak on the tweet.
Oh, go for it. Yeah. Sorry.
The beginning talking about why I don't want to play the student athlete card is because like so many times there's a big misconception within the general population that as student athletes, like we have everything given to us and that, you know, we don't have to work that hard because, you know, this, that, and the other, or we shouldn't be upset because all our school is paid for. We eat for free, you know, everything's free. And it's just, that's a huge misconception. And I know that as a student athlete, I made the choice. So I'm going to like get whatever I wanted. Like I made the choice. So whatever I have to sacrifice or do to continue making the choice to be a student athlete, I'm going to do. It just is worse in times of COVID-19 when it's like, well, now I'm sacrificing even more than I was before. And you're still doing the same things. And for like normal students, you know, I value your experience. Like I want you to be able to come to college and enjoy it and, you know, get your own experiences and be happy and meet people and do everything that you, you know, you want to do, because I know that you may not have as many things to do that I have as a student athlete. You know, like I have obligations that I have to meet, that I have to go to, that are going to make me meet people, or that I have my teammates to, you know, hang out with and train with. But it's just, I don't think it should come at the cost of others. Like there's ways that you can go out and have fun and be safe. Like you don't have to, you know, be completely reckless and just act like rules don't apply to you to have a good time and make memories. Like that's the frustrating part. And I feel like a lot of people understood my tone. And that's part of why I didn't get that many comments back that were negative.
Right.
But I mean, there still is that population that, you know, whatever you say, they won't listen. It doesn't pertain to them. Like, they're not directly affected. So, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
But what did you ask right before then? I'm sorry.
I think I just asked, like, what's next? Like, where do you go from here? Right. Like,
yeah. So, you know, I've been here 2 years. I've made a lot of connections. My biggest one being with Chris, like,
yep,
that's my biggest, pull to Iowa. Like, I want to finish off this year, just enjoy it. You know, with the spread of COVID-19, we don't know what day we're going to walk in and it'd be our last. You know, we may get the season, we may not. So just going into the gym and enjoying it and having memories, is just something that I'm going to value for this year. And then after that, whenever this ends, just, you know, close that chapter and refocus on video and, you know, use my last year or a little bit more if we get cut early, to put into video and build that and go after wherever I'm going to go next.
Try and pursue that adult life that, it's an interesting one. Let me tell you, if I could still be a student athlete, I'd choose to be a student athlete, which is, oh, good times. I'm glad that you've taken a positive outlook on it, because it's definitely an emotional thing and a huge, you know, time in your life where, you know, you've dedicated yourself to this thing and it gets taken away. But I'm glad that you came on and shed some light on your life and what the gymnast life looks like, and got to talk a little bit about people following some rules as well, and maybe everyone just doing a little bit more of their part. I wish you the best. I am so happy that you came on and volunteered to do this. Hopefully I find a couple more that can come on and talk about it and bring light to their sports and their seasons. And yeah, man, I hope you have a great Sunday.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, Stu. This was episode 139 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. Again, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week, and hopefully Drake and Kevin will be here as well to help me, and I don't have to solo any more episodes. Everybody have a great day. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.